Does technology make us impatient?
What?
I was just saying, does technology make us impatient? And then I was going to say...
Impatient?
Me?
Me?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is in response to...
Claire Ryan.
And Sassy Cat. And
Bernie.
What's
his name?
Goldbach. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to say, because that would make me sound impressive, yeah. Even if it isn't a say, but I think it is. Anyway, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Okay, what do we think? Because I think people have broadened it out, so we probably will. But technology is making me impatient. To address that first, I think I have seen instances, or increasingly see instances, where people are so stuck to their phones while they're walking.
Down the street. Didn't we see somebody today playing a... we walked through John Lewis, didn't we?
Yeah.
And there was some bloke in the middle of John Lewis in an aisle
playing some shoot-'em-up game. Yeah. And he said... Did he say something? Or just didn't move, did he? And the guard dogs, we were kind of a bit confused.
Kind of weave around him.
Yeah.
My phone is currently playing.
So there was that. Does it make us impatient in other ways? I think things like TV programming and commercials... make us impatient as well, because condition us. Like soaps have only got like 30 seconds like per scene, and then
so things like Sky Plus, where you can put Sky Plus on record and then you start watching your programme.
You mentioned that, in fairness, like they have one in Ireland that's similar.
Yeah, well, I've got TiVo. And so you record it and then you start watching it 10 minutes later because you're too impatient to see the programme, so you then fast forward to all the adverts. That and the fact that I don't particularly like watching adverts.
Technology makes me impatient when it doesn't work, because I want to get something done.
Does it really? I would never have guessed.
Really, that's our stress point. That's the only time
I'm very patient with technology.
Yeah, right. That's the only time you and I get a little bit angst with each other, and then we have to almost like take a step back because it just isn't worth it.
It's one of those where
it's really hard because you're like, it can't be done, babe. It can't be done, babe. It can't be done. I'm going, yeah, I'm sure it can. And then in the end, often, and this doesn't make me right, because it works exactly. We're very, very alike in many respects, and we're also alike in the way that we
respond
to it and end up resolving it. And often I'll say, look, just can I please have a look at it? Yeah, if you want, bang, and it'll go down. But I do exactly the same. We respond to it exactly the same way. And then you're not gonna resolve anything. And it's like you're goading me from the sideline. Ting, I've done it. It's like, well, that's because something else must have happened. And
you do it as well.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And there is just that weak point of a person where it's almost that because the thing isn't doing what you expect it to do, and I don't know if we're worse because we have additional technology that we use, so in order to access the computer in the first place, and that there are lots of inherent problems with screen readers and things anyway, and accessibility.
And also sometimes there are issues with something doesn't do what you want it to do because something's happened on the screen that you haven't seen. And you think it should respond in a certain way, and it should, but it doesn't, and you then don't know whether it's the website or the software or whatever, just not responding properly, or whether there is actually an error on screen.
Then you go hunting around for a solution. I think my wider question then, because this is what Bernie did, I think my he came from a different angle. I think my wider question is, technology might make me impatient, but in a general sense, is it worth it and why?
Yeah, I think depends on what technology you're using.
Mm.
Sassy Cat made a very, very valid point about, and I've said this all along. Sassy Cat made the point that she doesn't have to know how to spell anymore because she has a spell checker, etc. And we have spell checkers, we have autocorrect, we have the ability to put stuff in and it will auto-correct it in Word or your phone will auto-correct for you. Now, on some levels, that's a bad thing. And also, we have kids now texting in text speak. They don't write properly.
Do they still do that?
Yeah. And there are certain text speak terms that have now been allowed into the Oxford Dictionary, for example. Awful. I can't bear it. It really drives me insane. And I'm quite anal about
typing out text. C space U space L-A-R.
Yeah. I'm yet to discover if that can be TH at.
THT, I think it is.
TXT SPK. Awful, so they don't know.
I heard a situation where someone said that, you know, when there used to be, especially when they use predictive text messaging, I don't know if it's prominent now, but Stephen Fry was on about it, and he said that one of his relations, a younger child, had written that he was saying that a lot of the kids now, instead of writing call, if something's call, they write book, because the predictive text messaging was more likely to write book than it was to write call, and they couldn't be bothered to change it.
It's awful. But yeah. Having said that, from a VI perspective, it's a fairly commonly known fact that a lot of VIs struggle to spell. And one of the reasons for that is because when you learn Braille, you learn contracted Braille from about the age of 7, and so you never see words written out in their fullest form.
Especially postal addresses,
names, you know, all that kind of thing. You never see words written, so if you're a Braillist, you don't see them. If you're not a Braillist, you are most likely a computer user, in which case your screen reader speaks the words to you and you don't have to spell them. And so for people that can't see, the technology does aid, because if you're writing letters or post to, you know, your mate down the road, but if you're trying to write anything that you want to be taken seriously, not being able to spell and use grammar is atrocious. Punctuation, like punctuation. If you don't use punctuation, George reads it as one string of text. And if you've ever listened to a long sentence with no punctuation, George starts at the top and he gradually works his way down. Hello, my name is Paul. I live in Hurst Road. That's one time.
www.3.co.uk/things.
So, you know, there is that. And it's awful. So
I read an article where a guy was saying that the reason he learnt Braille, went to learn Braille, and that was starting with contracted Braille to learn how to spell and everything else, was because he heard someone speaking once. No, that's right. He didn't know that, and he was an American, so he didn't know that decent, as in to be decent, and descent were two different words spelled differently. Descent, so he knew. So it's just the way they say it. So, and I'm sure I could think of examples. I mean, obvious ones, like I know people that don't know how to spell like the differences between blue and blue, or, you know, blowing of a whistle, blue, you know, blue colour. Wind blue, I suppose. And things like that.
That's really, really basic. There.
No, yeah, honestly, really bad. Mm. Let alone things where do you put a double letter? Do you go I before E, EI, whatever? And it is. I still use spell check
quite extensive.
But yeah. I do try to look to see how it spelt the word. Yeah. Because up until I went back to college, having already been to learn as a piano tuner. So, you know, working 10 years of my working life and then came back to college and doing word processing, I said, my spelling is shot. Let's talk a bit about, like, for example, why technology helps us, though, because I think that what we tend to do, what I think we're good at, is embracing technology when we need it. And we would definitely be described as we are on the cusp, we're not on the blunt end of technology at all.
No.
We're on the cusp of it, and we would be innovators in many respects. We're the kind of people that use, if one app isn't as accessible as it should be, then we use another app to overlay it.
Or you write to them and you tell them how fabulously they would look forward to the project of making their app.
I've done that before, yeah. I'm sure you'll be very excited to be making further developments for people. But think of examples. I mean, like today, if we take our day, and we'll do this quickly because I know that people have not necessarily got time to listen to all of loads and loads of strings on this, but we went from here in Kent over to Westfield, which is
Stratford.
It's about a massive shopping centre. It's an hour's sort of travel in terms of getting trains and whatever. So we would have, the first thing we would have done, just got up in the morning, we have a chat. We do technology in terms of Audio Boo and Twitter and all that in the same way that a couple would sit and read their paper, the traditional hard copy paper, I would say. And we quite like to do that, and we'll go, oh, so-and-so saying this, and so it's all,
and we'll talk,
you know, Schumacher's done that, or there's this, and then we may we may even do audio moves about them, but that's our bit. We filter that, and to some extent, we, you know, because it's filtered anyway by who we follow and all the rest of it. So you have at least some idea of what you're going to get. So we're controlling it, and then we get up and probably leave it out for a bit because you're eating and doing sort of family stuff. But really, and then we think, okay, so we're going out to this Westfield Shopping Centre in mall and whatever in the city of Stratford. And so you're looking then at bus times
on your
bus mapper app, and then on the bus you're looking at train times. You know, you may get notifications from anything you've replied from, but you know, it's incidental at that point because you're on the bus. But then when you're on the train, you're probably thinking where it probably gets dropped a bit then, because once you're there, you don't kind of need it. But perfectly capable, if necessary, if we're on our own, we would go online and try and find a menu for a restaurant that we've decided to sit in at.
And it's worth noting that Westfield does have an app, but it's not accessible.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think in many respects our sort of use of technology does compare, because I don't just want this to be a VR-related topic. From our point of view, it doesn't have to be, and it hasn't been so far. It's about to all, isn't it? Because Top Gold and Sassy Cat are sighted, and Thingy's party sighted, yeah. And then you and I are pretty much ready to fly. So and then maybe on the way back, we actually trying to think. Yeah, we would have.
Well, I went to exchange a present, and they didn't have a replacement for it.
Yeah.
So I can go online, and the replacement apparently doesn't exist. The one that we wanted, because the one that they sold us was for the wrong model of phone, wasn't it?
But you would have hopped online, wouldn't you?
And then
checked in on Foursquare and
on Foursquare, but the present that they had isn't available. So I got a refund, and I shall go onto Amazon and order.
Yeah, but you'll do that from your phone, I expect. So we've kind of embraced technology, I think, but some people would say that our use is extreme. I mean, I've heard people say that to me. But I said to them, well, actually, in 5 years' time, you'll be using technology in the same way that I do. You know, one of my friends at work said, Paul, you know, you can find out information way quicker than I could, because you used to having to look for it. And that happened. We were out doing it. We were asked to do a presentation at a gathering of young people with disabilities, me and a couple of my colleagues. And they said, I'm amazed, you know, why? I wonder why these people couldn't turn up. And I said, what was their reason? They said, they said the trains were bad. And so I said, really? And they weren't sure, you know. And I said, yeah, no, I'm sure they were. I'll have a look. Because the weather was fine here. We didn't understand, you know. Anyway, I looked, and yeah, trains cancelled all over the place. And so I did that in 30 seconds, because I knew where to look. They would have faffed around with their phone for ages. So, I don't know. The point is, I think, is that I have learnt to appreciate technology, but I'm quite capable of keeping it at a distance. We very much have a sense of if technology is we're letting it come in too much, or we're pulling on it too much, or whatever.
And I've been there where I've let it infringe on my life too. And interestingly, if you go and look at the BBC Radio 4 Today's AudioBoo account, there is an article on there about people not becoming addicted, but social media. Is it time to step back from it, and how people basically, it takes over their lives?
Guy was saying he looked at his, did he heard of a friend, or was it his own Twitter feed?
It was his.
His
Twitter
feed.
A journalist.
How many 100,000 was it?
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. It was a friend who already had, 160,000 tweets. Now I know I follow people that have that many. I know there are people, I could name names, I won't, but, you know, I know of people I know personally who have posted 70, 80, 100,000 tweets and post proudly, this is my 100,000th tweet in like a year.
You go like, tweet 105162, and you go, what? You know, and it's like, whatever it is, you know, and it astounds me. And people have conversations on Twitter and stuff like that.
But this bloke was saying that he used to... He said the problem is with Twitter and Facebook. He said you're constantly watching it to see, because it's constantly updating. And what he used to do is before he went onto the underground, he would download the tweets so that he could read them while he was on the underground when he didn't have access to the Twitter account.
Well, I've heard of people saying that And what, sorry?
And how many people went and downloaded their Twitter archive when it became available? You know, a few.
What did I say 3 years ago? I mean, it's like, and people, what's the other thing I was going to say? Oh, I've forgotten. Oh, I can't remember.
And we take it all personally as well. You know, yeah, if you lose a follower, there are these analysis apps where you can see who's unfollowed you and, you know, things like that on Twitter and or Facebook. You discover, you know, you've been unfriended and people take it all very personally.
Well, they see things on Facebook and go like, so-and-so having a drink with friends. And they go, oh, what about
why
me?
Was why I not invited? Yeah.
Oh, get a life. You know, seriously, they're allowed to say that and they're allowed to do whatever.
Well, I got unfriended by someone because they didn't like the fact that I was constantly out for dinner. You know, I don't particularly want to see your dinner plans. And I was like, oh, okay.
I've heard it said that that when people do put their thing down for a while, they want to pick it up in the same way that it's tantamount or being compared to like sort of someone being in love, really, or certainly addicted as well, that actually you actually are addicted. You know, you can't put it down for more than a few minutes without glancing over at it and stuff. Anyway, not as eloquently put perhaps as some have done here so far, but just trying to give you a little kind of insight as to how we're using technology
and where it stands
in our life.
I think there are other generational things, and I'll leave it on that. But in terms of, I look at Nathan, for example, if he does school projects. I remember when I was at school, if we did a project, you had to go to the library and do actual research and find out about stuff, and then you had to write notes and things like that. Whereas kids now go online and they look up stuff on Google. And I imagine an awful lot of what kids hand in as projects is essentially rewritten plagiarism off of the internet. You know, I know of when I went to parents' evening, his teacher said that they'd had, he talked to a child. He didn't name names, obviously, and I can't remember how the topic came up, but it wasn't in reference to this child. He was just being, we were talking about ICT and stuff. And he said this child handed him a piece of work and he said, oh, it's all my wording. And the teacher said, well, it's funny you should mention that because I Googled it today because I thought it was so great. But I Googled it and imagine how amazing that I found your exact wording on this website.
Well, there is software, there's anti-plagiarism software.
Yeah, there is.
That will go through things.
But kids of 11 don't. But then he does his presentations in PowerPoint. And
he can do those, though.
Yeah.
That's the point. And he can program Raspberry Pi and he can build electronics kits.
And on some levels, that's great. Sets. But then their handwriting's atrocious.
I don't know if Nathan's is, but if we talk about him in particular. But
it used to be good, but he lets it slide.
Mm.
But yeah.
But does he need it? And is it important?
Well, yeah, I think he should have to write.
I think he should be able
to write. What happens if the power goes down tomorrow?
No, yeah. Well, I've always said that about Braille and stuff. Mm-hmm. To bring it back to, well, not bring it back to, but to sort of put that element into it. I'm so glad I was taught Braille. I cannot believe that people are literally illiterate.
And the state sanctions it, but let's not.
Anyway, that's another debate for another time.
Oh, it is. I wasn't going
to. No, you weren't. I was.
Yeah.
Right then. Love you all, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye bye.
Sure. Bye bye.